of Hogwarts is a little confusing if you start to really look into it.
It really is, yeah. I also one time read a like Tumblr post that was like, Quidditch is a really stupid game. Imagine you're watching a basketball game and then someone comes in and says, wait, the game's over. One of the players caught a frog in the parking lot and they win. And I was like, so you know what? True. That is exactly what it's like. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and cricket.
Uh-huh.
And Bollywood boys.
Indeed we are. Bollywood boys who don't believe in luck and don't try to make them.
Yeah, and are, like, very, very firm on that stance.
Really firm on it. Like, don't, there's no point in arguing with him.
Like, in kind of a, are you okay kind of a way.
I think, you know, when you get pushed as far as as Nikhil Khoda gets pushed, maybe you start to fight it a little bit more.
And, like, I do like his perspective where it is, it's like, don't credit luck with what hard work achieves.
Right.
Totally fair. But, like, also, man, luck does exist.
I think it totally depends on your beliefs.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And also,
not yucking anyone's yum.
Also, we're talking about Zoya Factor.
Yeah, we are. It was my first time seeing it.
Uh-huh.
How many times would you say you've seen it?
Not that many. I watched it, like, once years ago, and then I watched it, like, three times in the peak of my DQ obsession. So I would say probably a healthy 4 to 6 times.
Okay, that's solid.
Over,
that's
like, 4 years.
Yeah. It was cute.
It's cute, right? Yeah, it's like, that's not, we weren't expecting anything more or better from it.
It's fluffy. Yeah.
It's quite ridiculous. I also forgot about all of the product placement in it, which is very much, because the woman who wrote the book, Zoya Factor, Anuja Chauhan, wrote it after she had been working in advertising for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all supposed to be kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Got it.
And
okay.
I wish that I had mentioned that before, because as I was watching it, I realized how stupid the product placement looks if you don't know that.
Yeah.
Like, the whole ending number about Pepsi feels a little bit better when you know that it was supposed to be kind of funny.
Yeah, separately, like, do you think it was a good adaptation of the book, since you've read and watch it?
Not really. I think the book leaves out the whole romantic comedy trope of her being, like, klutzy and,
you know, okay,
unlucky in love. And, like, she's a little more just
competent?
Like a normal person. Yeah, she's competent. She's actually good at her job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my main complaint about this movie. Just, you know, I enjoyed it. I don't know that I'll ever watch it again unless I want to watch DQ be adorable.
Right. Which, again, is the reason I've watched it multiple times. I just
It is tempting. His hair is phenomenal. He looks adorable in his hoodies.
Uh-huh. I will also say I definitely have selectively watched this movie in the past.
Yes. I would probably, like, put it on in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing that drove me nuts was that I didn't really understand why he'd like Zoya.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, she just seems kind of dumb.
Yeah.
In the sense she can't do anything right. And I'm like, no one is this klutzy or this, like, bland of a human.
Yeah. I mean, I think she has some charm.
Yes.
But I do agree that sometimes that's overridden by how just kind of ridiculous of a person she is.
Yeah, it was, like, only, like, once we were halfway through the movie did I start to feel like, okay, starting to see more of her personality. But by that point, he'd already, like, fallen in love with her.
Yeah.
So I was just like, but why? She's really pretty.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, I think that that's enough for a lot of people.
And she's, like, entertaining in the sense that she's constantly messing up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really, like, a personality trait.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I also think it's never established, like, what era this movie is set in.
That's true.
The book came out in, I think, 2009. And then the movie came out in 2019, which 2009 would set Zoya, who was born in 1983, in her, like, mid to late 20s, as opposed to mid to late 30s.
Right.
And seeing a woman who's in her mid to late 30s act the way that Zoya acts in the movie is even less appealing in my... Because I think, you know, when you're younger, you can maybe make excuses that you're younger, but it's like, maybe, like, you should have it a little more together. Like, not saying you need to have your love life figured out or even your career figured out, but, like, you shouldn't be actively bad at both of those things.
Yeah, no, and, like, you can be a bit quirky, but, like, you should be able to, like, pour yourself cereal.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those cereal things really aren't that hard to navigate.
No, it's not, no. And then, oh, God, yeah. It's hard because I feel like we left that trope behind, like, 10 years ago.
Right. Yes.
And so I get a little frustrated when I see it pop up now because I'm just like, ugh, no, that's not where we're at.
For better or worse, Zoya Factor.
It knows what it is.
It knows what it is. We've got Sonam Kapoor as Zoya, Dulquer Salmaan as Nikhil Kota, Sanjay also here.
Yeah.
Sanjay loved him. Zoya's dad.
He was great. Her whole family was great. I'm excited to talk about them.
Yeah. They don't come up a ton in my notes, but I will... Sikandar Kerr, who plays her brother, is not a guy who I would have a crush on after this movie, but after watching him in other things, I definitely developed a crush on him.
I was intrigued by him.
Yeah. It does make me feel weird, like, watching this movie now after, like, having seen him in the vampire series that I watched him in, where I just was, like, so attracted to him.
I don't know. I liked his mustache.
I do like his mustache.
I liked his vibe. I like him at the end of the movie and that whole thing that happens. Anyway,
we'll get into it.
Yes.
And it was directed by Abhishek Sharma and Mehmet Tutkun. Apparently they were both directors. And we already said it's based on the novel by Anuja Chauhan.
Before we go off and running.
Right. Yes.
Yes. Into the plot recap.
Already forgot the plan.
Yeah, we had mentioned last week that I would be researching cricket.
Yes.
And yeah, we thought that it might be helpful if I did my research before the plot recap, because it might help those of us who don't understand cricket understand the movie a little bit more.
Yes.
So yeah, we're going to talk about cricket.
I can't wait to hear more.
If I'm being honest, having just read the rules, I think I'm into cricket. Like,
okay.
I like sports. And I think the only reason I didn't really care about cricket was because I was like, I have no clue what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But now I kind of know what's going on.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I could watch cricket.
You know what's funny is, and we'll talk about this later, but as I've been watching the Olympics, I've been having the thought, like, I really should watch more, like, organized sports because I do really enjoy it. And I did have the thought, I was like, maybe I'll start to watch cricket.
You could totally watch cricket. I could watch cricket if we can. I don't know if we have access.
I think we have the means to watch some cricket.
Well, apparently cricket's getting bigger in the U.S.
Interesting.
So.
Okay, well, we should try to get ahead of that curve.
Yeah. Although, can you imagine if the U.S. actually formed, like, a cricket league, we'd be so bad compared to, like, the rest of the world because we're so far behind.
I think we deserve that. I think that would be good for us.
That's so true. Classic us. It's like, but we'll think we're the best, and then, like, they'll finally make cricket an Olympic sport, and it'll be, like, the U.S. at the very bottom.
Right.
And we'll be like, what?
Well, we'll do, like, with baseball, where we have a World Series that's just the United States.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Okay. So, two things. First, I just wanted to give some really, really quick... I was gonna say quick wicket background, but I mean quick cricket background. Just so we know that cricket's roots trace back to the 16th century.
Wow.
And it was a children's game.
Okay.
But then it became an established sport in England in the 18th century.
Oh, all right.
And wickets got their name because they resemble a wicket gate, which is a small gate.
Cool.
So that's why it's called a wicket. I couldn't quite figure out the origins of the name cricket, but people think it came from crack. You know, which I'm definitely butchering the pronunciation, but you know, like when we were in Ireland,
like, crack
we learned
is fun.
About like crack is fun.
Yeah. And I did just like every time we were in Ireland, just think like,
let's go get some crack.
Let's get some crack.
Let's have some crack.
I love me some crack. Anyway,
let's crack it up. Yeah. a lot of fun jokes were made. We were those Americans, everyone.
We were. Yeah, you would have loved to hang out with us.
Maybe you would have. So I have kind of two things. One, I found a pretty good, like, quick overview of the game, thanks to, like, the Singapore government.
Thanks, Singapore.
So I'm going to just read through this as, like, general rules. Okay. And then I'm going to get into the specific rules, okay, which I weirdly found in USA Today, as this article was like, hey, US, buckle up. Cricket's probably coming. Cricket's coming. Here's everything you need to know.
Okay. Very helpful.
So anyway, cricket is played by two teams of 11, mm-hmm, with one side taking a turn to bat a ball and score runs, while the other team will bowl and field the ball to restrict the opposition from scoring.
Okay.
We know this.
Yes.
The main objective in cricket is to score as many runs as possible against the opponent. Mm-hmm. They toss a coin to figure out who goes first and who chooses what they want to do first. So there's that. We know about, like, the different positions. You have the batters and the fielders and the bowler, who's, like, the pitcher. And there's also a person known as the wicket keeper, uh-huh, who is crouched behind the wicket to catch the ball if it misses.
Okay, cool.
So that's happening. And as we know, the batsman from the opposition team will attempt to hit the bowled ball before it hits the wicket. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the fielders are required to chase the ball once it's been hit.
Okay.
So the batsman prevents the wicket from getting hit. Also, in order to score a run, this is where Singapore failed me. Anyway, we're going to leave it there.
Okay.
That's a general overview.
Got it.
Of the concept of cricket.
Okay.
But now we're going to actually get into, like, scoring,
yes,
and rules and things.
Got it.
So each team has 10 wickets to start the game.
Okay.
So 11 players, 10 wickets. And when the wicket has gone down 10 times, the innings end and the batting team can no longer score.
Ah.
And the reason for that is because if the wicket is down, then the batsman is out.
Okay.
And you have to have two batsmen on the field at the same time. So when you get 10 people out and you only have one batsman left, it's done.
It's done.
You can't
do anything. Okay.
Yeah, so your team is kind of out. Also, we've heard a lot of talk about overs.
Yes.
So, six, I call them pitches just for our sake of understanding. I guess it's technically bowls. Uh-huh. Six bowls or pitches equals an over.
Okay.
So when they say you've had, like, two overs, that's 12 bowls.
Got it.
Yeah. And there is a maximum of 20 overs that can be bowled per inning, which is 120 balls
thrown. Throws of the ball. Okay.
Yes. Also, didn't mention this before, but, like, how many innings a game is decided before the game is played.
Ah.
But basically, an inning is over once both teams have gotten out.
Okay.
So really, if you have a two innings game, that's when you might start to see it go over multiple days.
I see. Okay. Because that's the only time I'd ever seen that in my limited,
yeah,
cricket experience, which so, really is largely based on Zoya Factor. So
I don't know if maybe for, like, World Cup finals or big games like that, they say, okay, we're going to have multiple innings, so it stretches out over multiple days or what. But you can see how a cricket game could go on for a really long time if batsmen don't get out.
Right.
If you can have, like, 120 pitches.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Also, bowlers can only throw a maximum of 4 overs, so that's 24 bowls, before they have to switch out with a different bowler.
Okay, so you could have, because they can do 20, so
yeah,
it would be, you could have up to 5 different
bowlers.
I'm good at math.
Yes, yeah, which is also interesting. I don't know how baseball works, but I feel like there's, like, one pitcher.
Yeah, I feel like you usually see the same person do a lot of the pitching.
Yeah, but this, it's kind of like a team sport, yeah. Well, it is a team sport, you know what
like,
I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, and so we talked about how the goal is to get runs.
Yes.
And there are three common ways that runs are scored. When a hit clears the boundary,
okay,
so the fieldsman can't go over the boundary, so obviously if you hit the ball out of the boundary, you automatically get 6 runs.
Okay, that's a 6.
Which is, yes, yeah, which is why when they're like, oh, that's an automatic 6, I was like, okay, so now we're kind of looking at a point system like in basketball.
Right, yes.
Another way is if the hit ball reaches the boundary without being fielded, so it kind of, like, rolls across the boundary without getting touched by a fielder.
Okay.
That gives you 4 runs.
Oh, okay.
And the third way is if the ball is hit in the field, but then the 2 batsmen run back and forth between the wickets.
Okay.
And this is what's called a single.
Ah.
Because they both have to safely make it to the opposite wicket.
Yep.
For that to count as 1 run.
Okay.
Then if they're able to make it back again, that counts as 2.
Okay.
And then, like, however many times they come back and forth, they rack up.
Yeah, so, like, if they hit the ball really far, but it doesn't go out of the boundary, and then they run back and forth as many times as they can, that's how they can rack up points, and that's how you can end up having a heart attack.
Exactly. And dying. Exactly. So that's why he was running so much in Jersey. But it's also interesting because I have to, like, associate it with sports I'm already familiar with to help me conceptualize it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of, like, viewing it as, like, baseball and running the bases.
Running the bases, yeah.
Because you're also then racing against the fielders getting the ball back.
Yep.
Because if they hit the wicket when you're not there within, like, the wicket space, you're out.
Okay. So then how... Who does the ball need to get back to for them to stop running?
So, like, the wicket keeper, I guess. Okay. Or, like, I don't know if a fielder can, like, throw the ball at a wicket.
Okay.
Basically, as long as, like, the batsman is within whatever you want to call the line.
The crease.
Yeah, the crease. But specifically, you know, like, the batsman crease or whatever that is.
Okay.
So, like, that's when they get screwed if the batsmen are, like, if they turn around and run back or something.
Right.
Yes.
But, and
which now explains some things in Zoya Factor.
It does, yeah. And they can use their bat to, like, extend their reach to get across. Okay.
Yes. It's like, now I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Right,
like,
yeah, it makes sense. Well, and again, these were, like we were saying for Jersey, these were all things that I was kind of, like, starting to intuit, but understanding, like, how the points are scored is very helpful.
So, yeah, players get out when a bold ball hits the wicket, obviously. Mm-hmm. A fly ball is caught by a fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they do not safely make it to the opposite wicket on a run before it is hit by a fielder.
Okay. That's the thing that I now have questions about is, like, could you just, like, run up and just, like, knock over the wicket?
Oh, with your hand? I don't think so, because there's also a thing where it's, like, if the batsman misses and the wicket keeper picks up the ball and gets it back to the wicket, like, he has to use the ball to knock over the wicket.
Okay.
Okay. So I think regardless, you have to use...
You have to use the ball. So if the ball's far away, you've got time. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
But now I'm like, oh, well, that's a lot more straightforward than I thought it was.
I think it's just there are so many terms we didn't know.
Yeah.
That it's just like, what is any of this?
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully that helps people who...
Didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. And I obviously there's some more intricate things, but I was like, that's not what we're here for right now.
Yeah.
We did say we wanted to learn how cricket worked this year.
Yeah.
And now we kind of know.
We do. I think we've achieved that goal, and I appreciate you doing the work of presenting all of that to us.
You're very welcome.
Okay, well, shall we dive into the plot?
Absolutely.
Actually, one other thing I was going to say is that Dulquer Salmon's birthday just happened. So
happy birthday!
Happy birthday, DQ. At this point, like, at the point this episode comes out, it will have been, like, a week and a half ago, but
still
worth wishing him a happy birthday.
Always. He deserves everything good in the world.
He really does, because he is everything good in this world. Let us begin.
Oh, I'm ready. Right off the bat, literally.
Right off the bat, things get exciting.
Yes. Whenever you see a, like, thank you, Shah Rukh Khan.
You're going to be ready for some appreciation of your own.
I feel like I'm stepping up, but just really, because that was, like, the first thing on the screen,
yeah.
I was just like, OMG, what's going to happen? When's he going to... And then suddenly the voiceover started, and I was like, ah, okay.
He's just the narrator.
Got it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So anyway.
Over to
you.
We open on a cricket pitch as a very sexy voice tells us that despite the fact that India worships cricket like a religion, the players of the sport lack the power of the gods because they are all slaves to luck.
Mm.
This narrator tells us that on the day India won the World Cup in 1983, our heroine Zoya was born, and her father says that she was a gift from the cricket gods. And then we get a cute little opening animation of Zoya as a kid. Her father and brother are using her luck to win cricket matches. Basically, she needs to eat food with them, and then they'll win the coin toss, and then they'll win the match.
Yes. I also did make the note that I'm like, whenever a film starts off with a cute animation, like, animated story, it's great.
Especially if it's a Dilker Salman movie.
Yeah, it just bodes well, you know?
It does, yeah.
Are you going to talk about her mom dying?
That's the next line in my notes, which is also in this montage, her mom dies.
Just, like, super casually. Like, it's this really cute, like, they're just together as a family. And then suddenly her mom's portrait is just on the wall. And I was like, oh, my God.
Well, they show her getting her palm read, and her lifeline just goes like, boop.
Yeah.
Which is dark.
Yeah.
But yeah, so mom's dead. Zoya. Yes.
And they're like, don't be sad about it. That's not what we're here for.
It's not what this movie's about. So we arrive in present day and we switch back to a real people film. Adult Zoya is getting ready for her day when she is distracted by a Cadbury chocolate commercial featuring the very handsome captain of the Indian cricket team, Nikhil Kota.
I just was like, I'll buy whatever he's selling.
I really will. He is in a lot of very expensive car and motorcycle commercials, so be careful what you,
what you wish for. But didn't he also do a Crocs commercial? Or oh, that's he just right.
The,
Crocs?
Like, soccer, where he was, like, playing soccer in Crocs. Crocker.
So, you know, Crocker. I could afford a pair of Crocs.
I could have, yeah. I'll buy some Crocs from Dilker Salman. Sure. Anyway, so the power cuts in Zoya's house. Her cricket-crazed father and brother have blown a fuse watching cricket on their cheap TV, and Zoya accuses them of only caring about cricket. As we follow Zoya through her day, we see that her luck really only extends to cricket. We see her get dumped by her dentist boyfriend, which is rich because she's real hot, and I don't know what his problem is.
She's, like, gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I like that when she's like, he's gonna propose. He's not cute, but, like, that's okay. I'll say yes.
It's, like, it's a yes from me.
And I like that his reasoning, too, is that, like, she's too cheap.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't want to take that from her to pull her into his, like, high-earning, high-class lifestyle.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, bullet dodge.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, yeah, and then she gets to end up with Nikhil Kota.
Bummer.
Spoiler alert. Okay. But anyway, she also is not very good at her job. She works in advertising, and her boss really just cannot wait to fire her.
Why doesn't she?
Because she's, like, really bad.
She's really bad at her job.
She is really bad at her job. I do think it needs to be mentioned that there is a scene with Anil Kapoor where he's playing himself playing a pirate.
It's fantastic.
It's great.
I loved every bit of it, yeah.
We always love Anil Kapoor. We would also buy Crocs from him.
I would buy pirate hats from him.
Yeah, you need those even less than Crocs.
That'd be a weird outfit.
What a vibe you would be.
You know what? I live in, like, a weird place.
You do.
So.
It's true. You could get away with that in Salem.
Uh-huh.
Whew. Okay. Despite being as bad as she is at her job, because her boss has no other people working for her, apparently, she sends Zoya to Sri Lanka for a Pepsi campaign with Team India.
Mm-hmm.
We then cut to Captain Nikhil Kota at a press conference where reporters are asking him why he's so bad at his job.
Yeah, that sucks.
It really does, and he doesn't really have an answer for them. He's just kind of hoping for the best. We're joining him as India has just lost its fifth consecutive game.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not going well for them.
I do appreciate that. I feel like in a lot of rom-coms with this setup, he'd be a total hotshot.
Yeah.
Star of everything, constantly winning, just, like, literally at the top of his game. And I appreciate that, like, he's not. Like, he's clearly a good player, as they show throughout the film, but, like, you know.
He's down
on his
luck.
He's just a normal guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I find that kind of a character more compelling, personally. Oh, so.
Most certainly. Yeah.
But anyway, so after this press conference, we go... I wrote backstage in my notes. I don't think that's what it's called in sports. We go back to the locker room, I guess.
Yeah. They got a lot of different rooms and stuff.
It's kind of a fancy place. But so we're back with Team India, and one of the players, Harry, who we learn is very superstitious, he's telling them that the whole team is jinxed. And this conversation devolves into some petty arguments, and then Nikhil comes in, and he tells them that they're making too many excuses for playing badly. The more you practice, the luckier you get. And this is his, this is his philosophy of sports. Nikhil sends the team out to practice, and one of the players assures him that a breakthrough is right around the corner. This is where I noted down that I really like his tattoo.
Nikhil's?
Yeah.
It's good. I do. I like a solid, like, forearm band.
I do, too. Like, it's simple. It's nothing too crazy. I mean, people can have whatever tattoos they want, but this one just, it looked good
absolutely.
On his arm. It was nicely placed. His arms looked good, you know.
Which is also, we'll talk about that later. This man is clearly a fit man. Like,
there's plenty to say about his body at other points in this movie.
Yes.
And not his body. Okay.
Correct.
Zoya and her team of advertisers arrive in Sri Lanka. She's feeling very confident that she's going to knock this one out of the park. She's going to hit a century on this one.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is 100 runs.
Cool.
So we were right. But also, can you imagine, like, the idea of one batsman accruing 100 runs?
It would take such a long time.
Before getting out?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm understanding.
It is, yeah. It's impressive.
How cool that is.
What's 100 divided by 6?
It'd be, like, 17. A little less than 17.
Okay.
You would need to hit it out of the boundary, like, 17 times.
That's a lot. Yeah, and you probably wouldn't be doing that every time.
17's a big number. Right, so you're probably hitting that ball, like, 40 times.
Yeah.
Which I guess, you know, that's why, like, centuries don't happen all that often.
Right, that's why.
Because you can only have 120 bowls in an inning. And the inning is, like, for all 10 batsmen.
Right.
Wow.
So you wouldn't even go through all of your batsmen if you
Correct.
Got someone who's
just doing it. Which is probably why bat order matters.
Right, because you'd still, that what you do in baseball too, you put your not as good batters towards the end, so they might not even get up there.
Yeah. I think I'm into cricket.
This is a really big moment. But yeah, so Zoya's feeling confident, and then she hears some fireworks going off outside. And so she runs off to join in the fireworking.
And with a bunch of kids.
Yes, she and this group of children are shooting off the fireworks in celebration of Sri Lanka's victory.
And she's drunk.
She's drunk?
She had, like, a beer and she was, like, slurring.
Oh, well, that's not safe. That's a great way to lose some limbs.
I know. I'm like, you're the adult in charge here because all of these children are, like, 10 max.
Yeah. Who do these children belong to?
And this is, again, this is where I'm just, like... giving Zoya a little bit of side eye.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, I don't think she's the most responsible or admirable of characters.
No.
She's a little bit ridiculous. But so they're shooting off these fireworks right below Nikhil's balcony. And he comes out and he asks her why she's celebrating Sri Lanka's victory while wearing an India jersey. And she says she's just celebrating life. And Nikhil tells her to save some of those fireworks because she's going to need them tomorrow when they win. And she says, my dad's been saving up fireworks for you for like a year.
Ooh.
Which wasn't a super nice thing to say. And Nikhil gets upset and he turns around, he goes back into his room. But then he smiles. He's charmed by her.
Yeah, it turns out you can be kind of rude if you're pretty.
You can really get away with a lot if you're pretty.
Pretty privilege,
yep. The next day, Zoya meets the team at the Pepsi shoot, and one of the players, Robin, sends her to get new shoes for him because the ones that they've given him are too small for him. Robin, by the way, is the ex-captain of the team, and he is not the nicest guy, and he tells her that she's got to get him new shoes and they have to be Asics, even though they're not even going to be in the shop.
No. Also, he is the villain
of
the movie, and I have a lot of questions about his methods, but I'm sure we'll discuss those later.
I think that's very fair. So Zoya does go to get the shoes, and she bumps into Nikhil on the elevator as she's taping an ASICS logo onto a pair of plain white sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clever. And it looks really good. It's got some good tape there.
It does look really good.
She explains to Nikhil what she's doing, and she begs him not to tell Robin, but he very sexily corners her in the elevator and tells her that trust is everything between a captain and his team. But no worries, he does keep the secret and doesn't tell Robin after all.
He does, but my heart skipped a beat. Yeah. My breath caught. The man just, like, oozes sexual tension.
He really does. I also like that I feel like he and Sonam Kapoor are probably, like, the same height. Because sometimes she's wearing heels and she's taller than him, and I like that.
Because I know he's not, like, a super tall man, but she's also a pretty tall woman.
I believe. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I also like that.
Yeah, it's cute. But so they start the shoot, and Zoya is very understandably crushing hard on Nikhil. She's imagining herself as the woman in the chocolate commercial, and then she imagines riding on a Harley with him, a la Bang Bang. Well, Bang Bang style, with the legs going backward. And then finally, they drink Pepsi at their wedding, which, who doesn't have that as a dream?
Well, we won't get into the whole Coke versus Pepsi thing.
I am more of a Coke person. I'm not really a soda drinker at all. My whole family are Pepsi obsessed.
Right. We've talked about this. Yeah, I'm also not a soda drinker. But if I were, I would choose Coke over Pepsi.
Yes, if I were going to drink a brown soda, it would be Coke.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would actually be root beer for me.
I do really like root beer, yeah. But I do, on the whole, tend to prefer clearer sodas to brown sodas.
Yes, yes. I prefer a Sprite. What did they rebrand Sierra Mist as?
I don't know. I don't know about this.
Okay, one moment. Yeah, I can't believe you don't know about this. This is bonkers. Sorry. Not related, but it's related to Pepsi.
It is,
so.
Yes.
So Sierra Mist no longer exists.
Okay.
It died in January 2024.
Oh, boy.
It is now a new lemon lime drink called Starry.
Starry? Like S-T-A-R-R-Y?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Oh my god. Apparently an influencer had got... okay. Sorry. Now we have to actually...
This is our second research segment of the episode.
This suggests that an influencer got the rights to Sierra Mist. Wondering, do you think that they're like copyright?
It like expired and someone else,
and they didn't.
That is so ridiculous.
Okay. Oh my god. Wait. Okay. Pepsi described Starry as a soda for a generation of irreverent optimists.
Wow. Okay. Starry-eyed.
It's a big claim. They call it the next choice of the new generation.
Okay.
Oh, because there's a TikTok creator named Sierra Mist, spelled C-I-E-R-R-A-M-I-S-T-T.
Okay.
She claims that Pepsi took legal action against her due to her name's likeness to the actual, like, soda Sierra Mist. Pepsi accused her of trademark infringement. She got a cease and desist letter.
Wow.
Oh my god, yeah, okay. She and her lawyer then discovered that Pepsi's copyright had expired. So Pepsi picked a fight with this TikTok influencer and basically brought about its own downfall.
That is so funny.
Oh my god, so she bought the copyright.
That's amazing.
And she was gonna go after them legally, but then they rebranded Sierra Mist as Starry. What?
That is one of the craziest branding stories I've ever heard. And I think very appropriate for this episode about advertising.
That's wild. I knew that they were changing the soda, but I didn't know why.
Yeah.
And I just, look, Pepsi didn't need to go after a random TikToker.
No, her name was spelled differently. I'm sure no one ever made that confusion.
And I shouldn't say random. It sounds like she has quite a following. But, like, the point is, I still feel like she's a small fish compared to Pepsi.
She probably didn't pose a threat to them.
Correct.
They were just trying to get money out of someone.
Right. And then they lost Sierra Mist.
That does honestly make me really happy that that's why that happened, because it does make Pepsi look so stupid.
Right. Although, do you picture, like, some, like, middle-aged guy sitting in the windowless office who's like, oh, crap, it's my job to check the copyright status.
I have to believe that that's a lot of people's job. Like, that feels like an important component of working at a big corporation. You don't think it's just,
like, Jim? Like, poor Jim got fired.
I think there's at least 7 or 8 Jims that could have been pointed at. And they're all probably cis white men who, if they did lose their jobs,
will be okay.
Got another one very easily.
Well, you know, it's hard for white men out there right now.
It really
now.
Is. Yeah. Harder than for anyone else.
Yep. Anyway, okay, we're back.
Back to Zoya Factor. Yeah, so this photo shoot happened. Zoya's crushing hard. And they don't end up having enough time to finish the shoot. They had these final shots they were going to do with Harry and Shivy, one of the other players. But they don't have time. Nikhil says they've got to go to practice. And Zoya's team blames her for this, which I have to say, I don't think this is her fault. They should have been doing the shoot with Harry and Shivy while she was getting the shoes for the client. Like, they're the ones who are bad at their jobs. They just want to pretend like it's her fault. Anyway, so she decides to pull Harry and Shivy from practice, even though she knows that Nikhil doesn't want this to happen. As she approaches Harry and Shivy, Harry's a bowler and Shivy is batting, she overhears that Harry, in practice, will sing while he's bowling, but he doesn't do that in the matches. This will become important later.
Yes.
Zoya takes Shivy aside and she tells him that he's her favorite player. They take a selfie together and she notices that the background of his phone is a picture of his grandmother. And he says that he looks at this picture every time his temper flares. Also important.
It is important. She is observant.
She is observant, yes. But so Zoya tries to get Harry and Shivy to come to do this shoot, but Nikhil intervenes and he tells her to stay away from the team. But the next day, he's changed his mind. He's a nice guy. He regretted being so nasty, I suppose.
And so she's really pretty.
Yeah, that too. so he invites her to come and have breakfast with the team. And he tells Harry and Shivy that they need to finish the shoot with her after the match, and she thanks him. As she's chatting with the team, Zoya reveals that she was born on the day India won the World Cup, and that she's always been lucky for her father and brother's cricket matches whenever she ate with them beforehand. And again, the team, and particularly Harry, are very superstitious, and so they hear this and they immediately glom onto it.
Yeah.
But Nikhil tells them that luck is just an excuse for failure. But later that day, India does in fact win their match. After the match, we see Robin talking to his uncle, who is on the cricket board.
Also a villain,
yes. Robin, like we said, used to be the team captain, but they accuse the uncle of nepotism, and so now Nikhil is the captain, but Robin wants to be the captain again at any cost.
Yeah.
And Robin mentions Zoya and her luck to his uncle. And so then Zoya gets a call that she is going to actually need to stay in Sri Lanka because Harry is injured, and so he can't do this extra shoot. She bumps into Nikhil, and she tells him this, and he's like, okay, well, nobody told me that Harry's injured. I'm pretty sure he's fine. And this causes Zoya to just completely break down, saying that she hates her life, she hates cricket, and Nikhil comforts her and invites her to eat with them again the next day. So at the next morning's breakfast, Harry and Shivy are very intentionally loading up her plate with a lot of food. Robin introduces his cricket board uncle, whose name is Jogpal, and Jogpal invites Zoya to watch the match with him from his VIP box, and she agrees. And then Nikhil starts sending Zoya some flirty texts from across the table, and he asks her out to dinner.
I do sometimes just wonder, because, like, this stuff kind of happens a lot in, like, movies and stuff, and not in a creepy way, like in 50 Shades of Grey, where, like, Christian Grey just, like, shows up at her house with a helicopter. I'm pretty sure that happens. But, like, You know, I'm just like, he got her phone number somehow.
Yeah.
And then later he also shows up at her house. Again, not creepy. I'm just interested, like, what methods does he have access to as the captain of the Indian cricket team?
This is a good point. Yeah, he's got power, and so he can get information, which is...
Right.
Which, when you're using your powers for good, and you're actually into the person who's doing this, it's great, but...
Yeah.
It can go, yeah, a little 50 Shades of Grey, which...
She liked, but she again...
but most of us didn't.
No.
Again, not the BDSM part, that's fine, but no, like, just it's... the... their vibe also, is
I'm,
wrong.
The, I'm pretty sure the BDSM community was...
Yeah, exactly. Those. Yeah, no, they did that... No, was not a good representation.
Not, no.
But so India wins their match that day, too. And they're not just winning these matches, but all of these lucky things are happening. Like, and I think in this match, like, one a ball just falls, like, right in between two of the guys who are going to try to catch it. All kinds of, yeah, like, mistakes and just super lucky stuff is happening.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, the wicket won't break.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, the things won't fall off the wicket.
Yeah, like, the ball hit it, but nothing
It just
fell.
Was like, so, it didn't fall. Yeah.
It is funny.
Yeah. It is funny. But so Nikhil is interviewed after the match, and he asks the reporter to cut when she brings up rumors about a lucky mascot.
Mm-hmm.
The reporter tells Nikhil that if he's worried about Zoya, the lucky mascot, then he should just seduce her and keep her luck to himself.
It's like a really weird thing for a reporter to say.
It's very weird. This woman is like traveling with the team. She like must know them, yeah. But it's also like there's such a really? Thing as professional boundaries, lady.
Yeah, it's also like just like a weird thing for any human to say, it regardless really is. Of their profession. Like, why would your brain go there?
Yeah, I feel like she has the hots for Nikhil, so she's like, "You're hot. You can do whatever you want."
I mean, yeah. Who wouldn't? To
but
be
that
fair.
That's not an excuse for poor behavior.
But, like, keep it in your pants, lady.
Seriously. But so Nikhil leaves the interview, but then he overhears his team discussing how lucky Zoya has been for them. He's starting to feel conflicted, and so he goes to Zoya's hotel room, and she has gotten all dressed up for their date, but he tells her that she needs to leave town. And he says that it's taken him months to build up this team, and now everything is finally coming together. They're finally winning matches. He doesn't want the team to be attributing it to dumb luck. And
fair.
I think that's very fair, but Zoya takes offense to this, assuming that Nikhil is saying that she is dumb. And they argue, she accuses him of wanting all of the credit for the team's victory, and he tells her that he is getting her on a plane for the next morning, no matter what, and he storms out.
Yeah.
So Zoya does head back home, and India loses its next match. I'm pretty sure this is, like, the Asian Cup or something. Like, this is sort of, this
yeah,
is, like,
I
a pre-cup
yeah.
thing. But so meanwhile, we see Robin and Jokpal convince the Indian cricket board to offer Zoya a contract as the team's lucky mascot. Back at home, Zoya's dad's friends are all over hanging out at their house when a knock comes at the door. And it's Nikhil looking adorable, as usual.
Of course.
He has come to apologize, and Zoya doesn't want to let him in, but then one of her dad's friends sees Nikhil and gets very excited and lets him in. Everyone is just totally, like, starstruck by him.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Even Zoya's brother, who's not a Nikhil Kota fan, which I think is funny.
Well, that's what I think is so great, is, like, it doesn't seem like any of them actually think he's, like, a good player,
right.
necessarily. Or at least they certainly don't think he's a good captain.
Yeah. I think her dad likes him, but everyone else is a little bit like,
But you're still, like, a player on the national team,
right.
and we're obsessed with the game, so love to have you here.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's fun.
But so they settle in, and Nikhil joins in the conversation, in which the dad's friends are all teasing one of the guys about how he has a crush on the woman who lives next door, but he is too shy to make a move.
Oh, this makes me so happy.
It's very cute, very heartwarming.
Yeah.
And so... one of the other friends, like, calls the neighbor, but the guy who has a crush on her, like, can't talk, he's too flustered, and so Nikhil picks up the phone, and he talks to this woman, pretending to be the friend.
Because I also like that this woman is like, why do you keep calling and just breathing?
He's doing the 90s thing where you just call to hear someone say hello and then you hang up.
Yeah, which is really creepy, honestly. It's very creepy. I understand it's because he's shy and has a crush on her, but, like, from the woman's perspective, it's just, like, you creep.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Also, we have mentioned before, DQ's voice is very distinct.
Oh, yes, he has the most beautiful voice.
So...
I do think, yeah, she'd know right away or be disappointed. But it all works out because Nikhil goes kind of on this whole thing about how he's apologizing for the misunderstandings between them. And he's just looking right at Zoya as he's saying all of this into the speakerphone.
Yes, it's very rom-com.
Very rom-com, very sappy. He says he wants her when he wins, he wants her when he loses. And then he says that he can see her window, and if she wants him to, she should turn on the light and light up his life.
Mm-hmm.
And the room waits with bated breath until the lights and the neighbor's house go on, and then they send the friend over to make out with her. I don't know. Have a good time.
It's cute. It's romantic.
It's very cute, yes. Zoya is obviously charmed by this as well. And so Nikhil and Zoya go for a drive, and he talks about how his last girlfriend dumped him. He discovered that she was only into him because of his jersey. And Zoya's like, listen, I don't blame her. You're kind of only ever in jersey mode. And he laughs at this and the fact that she's siding with his ex-girlfriend.
Also, he's single.
He just casually slips that in there. Zoya gets tea for them, and they talk about how her mom died and how whenever she misses her mom, she shoots off fireworks because she's sure that her mom can see them.
And this is like the first time that I was like, okay, you're like a fully formed person.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, a couple of more moments like this wouldn't have done the movie any harm.
No.
Nikhil drops her back off at her house, and Zoya grabs him into a hug, and things get a little steamy as their faces get very close together. And he, you know, she kind of goes back through her gate and locks it up, and they awkwardly say farewell.
Ugh,
they really just want to, rip each other's clothes off.
Oh, man, I love a hug.
I know, a good hug where you're, you can, you know, faces are in necks. It's very nice.
A good sexually charged hug.
When both parties are feeling the charge. Excellent.
Yes, a mutually sexually charged hug.
Yes. always on board. So soon after this, the cricket board offers Zoya the lucky mascot contract, and she is going to get paid 1 crore rupees if India wins the World Cup.
That is so much money.
It's a lot of money.
For her to just come along on their travels and eat breakfast with them in the morning.
Like, just hang out, with her new boyfriend.
I feel like they could have given her half that.
Yes, I agree. But there are downsides to this contract. She has to treat every player equally, and also she can't have sex. And I don't know if they just meant she can't have sex with the team or she can't have sex at all, but that's one of the rules.
It was a little weird. Yeah.
But so they leave her to consider this contract. She and Nikhil then have another very cute date where her father and brother are out of the house, and there are reporters lurking around outside because they now know about her potentially being a lucky mascot. And so Nikhil sneaks in and cooks dinner for her, and we get a very kind of sweet love montage, and things get steamy again, and they stage kiss.
Yes. I really like his little apron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like tossing the bell peppers up.
Because he's just wearing like a white t-shirt with the apron, and he's got his tattoo. It looks really good.
It looks really good. Also, again, just dropping breadcrumbs for a later discussion, but, like, his chest looks great.
It does.
His chest, his shoulders, his arms, everything looks great. This is clearly a fit man.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, laying the foundations. Okay. So clearly they like each other. They're in a relationship. Things are going well. So Zoya turns down the contract. She knows Nikhil isn't going to like her being the lucky mascot. But then she finds out that Robin has earned a new sponsor, and he's demanding that Zoya come and manage this advertising opportunity. And so she is going to travel to the World Cup so she can do this. And she's very excited because she's going to the World Cup. She's got a hot boyfriend. Everything's coming up, Zoya.
Yeah.
So we go to the World Cup, and the team is also very excited to have Zoya there. Before their first match, they conspire to have her eat some cake with them, because she's not eating breakfast with them. And it doesn't work out entirely as planned when one of the players steals the entire piece of cake that she has taken a bite of, and none of the rest of the team can eat it. But that guy does do really, really well in their match, and they do end up winning.
Look, enough stuff happens that it makes sense that people would believe this.
Exactly, yes. They do win every match that she goes to and lose every match she doesn't. So
in pretty spectacular fashion.
Yeah, I guess except for the end. But anyway, Zoya keeps trying to get Robin to do this ad for this cement sponsor that he now has, but he keeps saying he's too out of shape, he's got to work on his six pack because it's a cement commercial. He like lifts up his shirt and his torso looks very ripped.
It's redonkulous.
Yeah, but he's pretending. He's putting on a show. Yes. So, like, this isn't body shaming in this moment. He wants to keep her around for the luck thing.
Yeah.
And so he's like, all right, we'll do the shoot at the next match, which is in Goa. So she's got to go with them to Goa.
Which is Nikhil's hometown.
It is, and he's very excited about this. Nikhil tells her how excited he is, and then he... Just taking a deep breath, because I know what's coming.
Yeah.
Nikhil then offers up his own six-pack, and Zoya's like, oh, I'll believe it when I see it. And then he does the, like, hot guy thing of, like, lifting up his shirt and wiping his face.
Yeah.
And a different man's body appears.
Yeah.
Under Nikhil's Coda's shirt.
You had mentioned this before, like, months ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't understand what you mean. And it is so, it's like uncanny valley.
It really
it's
is.
Like, your brain is just like, that's not his torso.
No.
Like, that's just not his torso.
No.
And I'm just confused.
Right.
And I kind of was like, okay, maybe I get it if the whole thing is like six-pack abs. But I'm also just like, fit men don't need to have six-packs. Like,
no, men need to have six-packs. Which I know is exactly what you're saying.
It bothers me so, so much.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Dulquer Salmaan's human body is good enough to be shirtless in this. And I'm just kind of, it felt weird to even include it.
It's a very
weird moment.
So I think the first time I watched this movie, I didn't really process it. And then I didn't watch it again.
I don't know that I would have if you hadn't given me kind of a warning. Yeah.
I didn't watch it again until I was like already really into him. And I was like, doesn't he like, take off his shirt in Zoya Factor and he's like jacked, and I watched it and I was like, that's a different person's body. And you get like
is.
The angle of it, the proportions are like just slightly off,
they're not correct.
Yeah And I just think that moment would have been really cute if he had been like, sorry, I don't have a six pack, and then he'd like shown off his body, which is attractive because it's him.
It's
and he's attractive, so
it's
everything
attractive
about him is attractive.
Fit man's body. We just need to redefine what that is.
I also know, like, I understand why you are pointing out that he is fit, and it also doesn't matter. Like,
it doesn't matter.
His body can look however his body looks.
Oh, yeah.
And if I'm attracted to him, I want to see as much as he's comfortable showing me. Like, that's just how that,
that
works.
That is how that works. Yeah, and I guess my thing is that the whole point is that they need a fit man to be shirtless, and I'm like, well, but he is.
Yeah. Because there's being so fit that you have the super defined muscles, there's being just fit and not having that, and then there's being not as fit, and all of those things are an okay way to be inside a body. Like,
correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Anywho.
But this whole thing, it leads us into another love montage where Nikhil is showing Zoya around Goa. It's really cute. And after they are going around together, we see them collapse into bed, but then the bed turns into a pool and they collapse into a pool instead, and then they get very wet.
Yeah, I really liked the pool shot.
Yes, the
I thought
the
that was
submersion
cool.
Wetness metaphor.
I'm always amazed when attractive people continue to look attractive underwater.
It's not easy.
But they do it.
They do
Good
it.
Good for them.
Yes. And then we see the two of them laying in bed together. Now Dulquer Salmaan is actually shirtless. And what we can see of his body, again, looks absolutely top-notch.
Yeah.
Like, literally
I also
no
feel
notes.
Like his... the skin tone of the fake torso was slightly off. Like, it was just weird.
Everything about it was so bizarre.
It was really uncomfortable.
Yes, yes.
I also am like, whose body is that? How's that guy doing? Is he okay?
He's just, yeah, just a shirtless torso.
A headless torso. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But so as they're laying in bed together, Nikhil is saying that he's worried about their next match. They're going to be relying a lot on Harry as their bowler. One of many bowlers, apparently. Yeah. But I guess
he's the main one, though.
One of the main ones. And he's saying that Harry can never find his rhythm. Mm-hmm. And Zoya says, well, that's weird. Why doesn't he sing when he's bowling like he does in practice? And this is the first time Nikhil has ever heard anything about this.
Which... his team, he's only got 10 guys.
Yeah.
To, like, know well, and, yeah.
Maybe it's just, it's the stress. It's made him not able to see things that are right in front of his face.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
That's my justification. But so, yeah, during the match, Harry is struggling with his bowling until Nikhil suggests the perfect song for him to sing, and then Harry is bowling like mad, and he even gets a hat trick. I don't know what that means, but it's good.
Is it all three? Well, no, I don't. Okay. I don't know anything about bowling, I'm realizing, because I'm like, kind of, everything I learned was from, like, the perspective of the batsman.
Ah, sure.
So, like, I don't know how to be a good bowler.
That's okay.
In all senses of the word.
In any kind of bowling.
I'm, like, really bad at bowling.
I'm also really bad at bowling, but I really enjoy it a lot. Anyway, Nikhil gets a century. He had been cursed before. He was never able to get to a century since he became captain, and now he's done it.
Which, as we've mentioned, is pretty impressive.
Very impressive, yes. And this is enough for them to win the match.
Yay.
Yay.
And there was much rejoicing.
Robin then sees Zoya and Nikhil together, and he devises a plan to split them up and then convince Zoya to agree to being the lucky mascot.
Yeah.
So he conspires with the reporter from earlier, and then at the cement ad shoot later, he shows Zoya the footage of the reporter telling Nikhil to seduce her.
That had felt weird. That original comment from the reporter had felt weird and not like where a human brain would go.
No.
And then the fact that this jump started, like,
the whole conflict.
The main conflict of this movie, yeah. Where I was like, this feels a little dumb.
Definitely.
But again, that's fine.
I do feel like the conflict is much better fleshed out in the book.
I'm assuming,
it has,
yeah.
It really, I don't remember it having anything to do with this woman.
Yeah, yeah.
This reporter lady. But...
but again, it's a flight, it's a light, fluffy movie.
Exactly,
like...
yes. You know, we just, it's very surface level. We are not expecting anything more from it.
It's kind of nice to have a conflict where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not invested.
I also feel like it's pretty clear that he's not then like, oh, what a good idea in the interview. He's just like, you're weird.
He's like, away. No. Right.
But anyway, Zoya confronts Nikhil. She accuses him of only using her for her luck. And she says that the only reason that he did so well in the last match is because they had breakfast in bed together that morning.
That sounds lovely.
It does sound nice.
Although I'm like, no crumbs in bed.
Right. That's the downside. Mm. Nikhil anyway. Is obviously offended by this, and so to prove that he doesn't want her luck, he offers her 2 crore rupees to stay away from the team, and she is offended by this, and so she storms out, she goes right to the Indian cricket board, and she tells them that she accepts the contract.
Mm-hmm.
She eats breakfast with the team the next morning to great fanfare. There are reporters there taking pictures. They're making it look like the Last Supper, which is maybe not exactly the vibe.
Yeah.
And Nikhil is just sitting there pouting with his beautiful pouty lips. That evening, India just barely scrapes a win, and despite it being Nikhil's hit that wins them the game, the crowd is chanting Zoya's name. The whole country starts to go bananas for Zoya. Nikhil then insults Zoya in one of his post-match interviews, saying that, you know, she's stupid.
She's a bird brain.
Yeah. And the audience starts to turn against Nikhil in favor of Zoya, which is exactly what Robin wanted.
Yeah.
The next match that they're playing doesn't count towards the World Cup for some reason, and so it doesn't matter if they win it or lose it. Because this next match doesn't matter, Nikhil asks the board to let them play without Zoya there. He wants to prove that they don't need her, but Robin, he is a bad guy, so he sabotages the game.
He does the same thing, like, twice.
Does he do the thing where he kind of, like, pretends to run,
he
but then doesn't?
He goes to run, Yes.
Yeah.
Here's my thing about Robin and his choices.
Let's hear it.
He wants them to lose so that Nikhil looks bad, so that Nikhil loses the captainship and then he gets it instead.
Right, but he doesn't look good.
Correct. This is the whole thing. The only way he can sabotage the game is if he plays badly.
Right.
But if he's playing badly, then why would they make him captain? Well, it makes... Because nepotism.
Well, and also remember, Katie, the captain is not always the best player. He's the one who knows the team the best.
Which is clearly not Robin.
Well, but anyway, so he sabotages the game, they lose the match, and now the country is even angrier at Nikhil because they blame him for losing the match, even though it was clearly Robin's fault.
Yeah.
Before the next match, Zoya and Shivy discuss his temper, and she suggests that he put a picture of his grandma on his bat. And this helps him so much that he doesn't even get mad when an opposing player intentionally bumps into him.
It is so sweet to think that this grown man is like, I have a really hard time controlling my temper, but just looking at a picture of my granny makes me feel calm.
Yeah.
Like, that's so sweet.
It's very sweet. I like Shivy a lot. Shivy's a good egg. But yeah, and then so Shivy scores his own century, and India wins this match. Zoya is also back, and India heads to the semifinals.
Woot woot.
Nikhil then accuses Robin of throwing the match that they lost, and Robin turns this back around on Nikhil and, you know, says that it's all his fault, he doesn't want them to win, and then the whole team ends up being on Robin's side. And this is a bleak start to their next match, and they're on the brink of losing. I think this match is against Pakistan. Not that it matters, but they're on the brink of losing when the heavens open and it starts to rain.
Yep.
The match is then canceled, and the win goes to India, and they've made it to the finals.
That seems unfair.
It really does, doesn't it? This is the thing that I said at the end of last week. Like, I don't understand why this would mean India wins.
We're accepting that this is what happened.
We accept that there's maybe more to this, and so India wins. Yay. Zoya then is asked to do a commercial where they dress her up as a goddess, and they have an actor pretend to be Nikhil and, like, prostrate himself at her feet. And this is a lot for her. She's starting to feel a little guilty about how Nikhil is being treated by the country, by basically everyone around them. So she excuses herself from the set, and then as she's going back to her trailer, she overhears two men saying that if India wins the World Cup, Zoya will get all the credit, and everyone will still think Nikhil is a loser, even though they won. And this...
That sucks.
Yeah! That's a really bad position to be in. So this sparks the realization for Zoya that it was Robin who was using her all along, not Nikhil. And she calls off the contract. She then goes to where Nikhil is practicing batting, and she apologizes to him, but Nikhil says that maybe she is lucky, and maybe all of it has been luck, and maybe none of it had anything to do with talent.
Aww.
Yeah, which is rough.
That's not true.
Zoya tells him that she is not going to come to the final because the team needs Nikhil, they don't need her, and she doesn't want any credit for their win.
Yeah.
So she doesn't come to the final, and the cricket board slanders her by saying that she was demanding more money, so they fired her. And so now everyone is mad at Zoya. The whole country hates her.
More effigies are being burned.
Yet more effigies being burned. There's people surrounding her house. It's very scary. But so the finals match arrives. I don't remember who India is playing against, but they need 313 points to win.
That's a lot of points.
That is a lot of points. Shivy even says that that's the highest score that any team will have gotten in the World Cup if they get it. Shivy pleads with Robin to convince Zoya to come back, and Nikhil overhears this, and he launches into his motivational speech. Every movie needs at least one. Every sports
100%.
Movie. 100%. And he tells them that they've worked too hard to credit all of their success to luck. And he tells them to remember when they played their first matches as kids in the streets with sticks. And back then, the game was just about the fun of it and the joy of playing. And it didn't matter whether they won or lost. And he tells the team to play their hearts out.
remember who you are.
Yeah, very Lion King. Also, correction, he doesn't tell them to play their hearts out. That's the last movie. He tells them to...
And he literally died.
Just play with your hearts. Keep your heart in your chest, beating at a normal rate.
Intact. Don't die.
So the team, it looks determined in response to this speech, and we see them head out onto the pitch. I don't know if they call it a pitch. I'm calling it a pitch.
I think so.
Okay.
Or something. I definitely skipped over that.
That's
part.
Fine. Shivy starts the match off strong, or their inning off strong, I suppose. Things are going well. The protesters outside Zoya's house ask her brother to open the window so they can see the TV better.
And this, I think, is funny that he's like, yeah, okay. He's like he does it.
Yeah.
And then later he gives them tea.
Yeah. Like, yeah, serves them. It's very sweet. Nikhil goes out to bat, and Robin very threateningly asks him, how do you plan to keep me out of the match?
Robin's clearly a really bad cricket player. Like,
Robin
no matter
sucks.
How much you want to be captain, you'd think that you would rather your country win the cup final or whatever we're playing at this point. Like, dude.
Yeah, you'd have to be really selfish and bad.
What do you even get? Like a slightly higher salary and slightly more recognition? You're already one of 11 guys playing for the national team.
That's
like,
true.
There's not that many of you.
No.
You're impressive.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Robin's the worst.
There were a few moments throughout this movie where things got like really dramatic. Like
yes.
The music got dramatic.
Yes.
And then I was just like, Robin's really becoming like a cartoonish
villain. He's very cartoonish, yeah, because there's nothing redeeming about him.
No.
Yeah, very silly. But what's not silly, Nikhil is on fire. He's hitting ball after ball. He makes it to 99, but then he gets out before he can reach a century. Still very impressive. Robin then heads out on the field, and he's batting very modestly. I feel like I understand it's everything staying within the field of play. And I don't think
he's
really running, so it's, slow, steady accumulation of points.
But again, not a good look.
No. And then he, again, does the thing where he kind of starts to run, but then changes his mind, and the other batter gets out. But so it's Harry's turn now to go out to bat, and Nikhil tells him to fake an injury so that he needs a runner, and Nikhil goes back out. So he's not batting, he's just running for Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Nikhil then causes the same confusion that Robin did, and he intentionally gets Robin out.
Mm-hmm.
So the next batter comes out, and then he and Harry they're once more racking up the points. And now it's Harry against the last ball of the game, and he needs to hit a six. But he is not a very confident batter, and he doesn't know if he's going to be able to do this. And so Nikhil has a very good captain moment where he encourages Harry to use his knowledge as a bowler to predict what the bowl is going to be so he can hit a six off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. He does it. He hits a six and they win the match.
Yes.
And that's another thing I like about this movie. Like you were saying before, I think in another story, Nikhil would have been the one to win the match.
Yeah.
And I like that it's someone else who gets to have the glory.
Yeah, well, and it shows that, like, Nikhil does what he does well.
Yes, he is
where
a
he's
good captain.
Able to, yeah, he's able to give advice that actually helps players be better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Zoya is happy that they won the match, but she's also sad because she misses her hot cricket boyfriend. And so she heads up to her room, and then her phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's Nikhil. And he tells her that even though today was the biggest day of his life, it felt incomplete without her. And cricket is his first love, but she is the love of his life.
Aww.
Very sweet. Very good line.
Yeah.
He then repeats the speech from earlier to the neighbor. He says he wants her always, whether he wins or loses. And if she wants him, she should turn on the light. And the camera pans out on Nikhil to reveal that he is standing in her backyard. He got there
really fast,
teleported.
Yeah, I know. He got there super fast.
They must have been playing the match in wherever Zoya lives. He just ran.
Yeah. He's, like, not even sweaty.
He looks great. Maybe he did take a helicopter. Maybe he did pull a Christian Grey. but nothing happens. There's no response. Until Zoya bursts out of her room saying that the fuse blew again and the light won't turn on. But Nikhil doesn't care, he runs to her balcony, they stage kiss once more, and all is right with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Our sexy narrator tells us that Zoya turned her luck into love, and then tells us goodbye and good luck. But we don't believe in luck anymore, right?
Our sexy narrator.
It's Shah Rukh Khan. I don't remember if we made that abundantly clear, but yeah, it's Shah Rukh Khan.
Yeah. I like to think, too, that he did, like, 10 minutes worth of work, just, like, showed up, went into, like, a sound booth,
yeah,
just recorded these, like, 6 lines,
yep,
and then was like, peace.
Yeah. Apparently, this was supposed to be a Red Chillies movie, and then it didn't work out, and it became another film company's movie.
Well, and they're all friends.
Yeah,
so
yeah. We do then get an end credits number that's about Pepsi.
Yeah.
And that's fun. But that's the movie.
It was fun.
It's always fun to see DQ in a dance number.
He moved a little, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He can move.
But yeah.
Any final thoughts about the film?
It was cute.
It's cute, yeah. That's really all there is to say or like about it. You know, it's quite far from fine cinema.
Yeah, it is cute. It's fun. I think had that movie been in English, it would have been one that I would have on while I was doing other stuff.
Yeah.
It maybe doesn't necessarily need your full attention,
no,
but the thing is, because I need to read the subtitles, it did need my full attention.
Right.
And that was where my hiccup came.
I will say,
but now
it can be a background movie.
Correct,
I will say that's become a thing I've been doing recently, where like movies that I know,
yeah,
the plot really well, I'll just have it on while I'm doing something else, and I know when I want to pay attention and when I don't care.
Exactly.
But so before we wrap things up, I did want to just talk about the Olympics.
I would love to. So behind.
what have you been enjoying of the Olympics so far?
So here's the thing. I was doing really well at first.
Okay.
In terms of keeping up, like, you know, I watched the women's gymnastics qualifiers.
Uh-huh.
I watched some swimming. I watched some beach volleyball.
Cool.
I've mostly been horse stuff.
Sure, yes.
But it turns out that the horse stuff, each event is like 3 to 5 hours of horse content.
Uh-huh.
So all I've been doing is watching horse stuff.
It's taken up too much time.
And I'm like, well, but what about the women's gymnastics final? I didn't watch that. I know who got gold.
I know,
but
spoiler,
like,
alert.
But yeah, so I'm just like excited to finish the horse stuff. I'm going to catch up on swimming. I'm going to catch up on gymnastics. I'm going to catch up on skateboarding, breakdancing, rock climbing. Like, I'm excited for
There's
it.
A lot
but
to
anyway.
Catch up on. I've been having the same issue, too, where there's just, like, not enough time to watch all of the things that I want to watch. But I have been trying to keep up with gymnastics and swimming just because those are the things that get spoiled. Like, it doesn't matter where you,
yeah,
what you look at. If you look at anything news-related, you're going to see. Because that's such, they're both,
that's very
both those
true.
Are such a big deal in the U.S. that, like,
yeah.
And I did have it spoiled for me, U.S. winning the gold. But I have been watching men's field hockey.
Have you?
Yeah, I've just been watching India's matches. They
How's
that, at
how
this
are
point,
they doing?
Just to be clear, we're recording this on July 31st.
Yeah, so we're like behind.
They've played 3 matches and they won 2 and tied another.
Okay.
But it's been really fun to watch them play.
Mm-hmm.
Really been enjoying it a lot. And that was
okay.
What made me think, like, I should be watching more sports, and maybe one of those sports should be cricket.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that has been really fun, and way to go,
that's amazing.
Men's field hockey team. I definitely, like, have my favorite players, Jarmanpreet, all about him. Jarmanpreet Singh, all about him.
Oh my god, I love this so much. Okay, I'll add that to my list of things. Like, I'm just gonna be watching Olympics for, like, a solid month and a half,
yeah,
after the Olympics are done.
That sounds great.
Because it never doesn't make me cry. Like, I was watching Simone Biles just, like, do her thing in the qualifier. Just watching her, I just, like, cried. I watched whoever won the mountain biking thing. She was crying, so I was just crying. She wasn't from the U.S. I was like, it doesn't even matter. Like, just people succeeding at their life's dream is beautiful.
It is
and that's
beautiful.
Why I love the Olympics.
I know. There was an Indian swimmer who, he didn't actually make it into the finals, but he came in second in one of the qualifiers, or one
wow.
of the heats for swimming. And I was like, oh my god, I'm so excited for you.
That's
anyway,
incredible.
But real quick, I did want to share some Indian-specific...
Please do.
Olympics news, which really the main thing is just that Manu Bakker won India's first medal at the Olympics, as well as their second.
Wow.
She won bronze in the 10-meter shooting, and she was the first Indian woman to win a medal in that category. Ooh. And then she went on to win a second bronze medal in, it was a team shooting, and I didn't write down her teammate's name. And again, I apologize for that. I was just very excited for this woman. And this made her the first Indian woman to win two Olympic medals at the same Olympic game.
That's awesome.
Or sorry, okay, first woman to win two medals, first athlete from India to win two medals at the same Olympic games. That's what it was.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so that's awesome. That's really exciting.
That's really cool.
And those are, again, we're recording on the 31st, so those are India's two medals that they've won so far, which is amazing. I'm really excited to watch Zareen Nikhat, who's the boxer I talked about in last week's episode. She has her second round tomorrow, and I can't wait to watch.
I love the Olympics.
Me too!
Oh, man. We'll have to have Olympics Corner next week, too.
Yes.
So... Olympic corner over. Uh-huh. Pluggables.
Uh-huh.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok. Do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Mm-hmm.
You could also, perhaps, maybe, leave a rating or review if you feel so inclined. But regardless, thank you for listening.
Yes, indeed. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add our favorite songs from the movies we watch, and link those in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes. So.
That for now concludes our sports films, although I think we will be returning to them fairly soon.
Yes. Short break.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because I got distracted. This was literally a today decision on my part. A movie recently came onto Netflix, Savi, which caught my eye because of Anil Kapoor.
Sure.
Sounds like, you know, it'll be interesting and entertaining. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm excited that you're excited. And so why not? We were going to take a break from the sports movies anyway. Why not have it be this?
And it's a 2024 film. Like, yeah. I feel like we're doing a good job this year of watching things that came out this year.
Yes, we're doing our best to keep up with the new stuff. So on IMDb, our plot description is Savi, a simple housewife, attempts a daring jailbreak to get her husband out of one of England's high security prisons with 400 inmates, 75 armed guards, and 60 surveillance cameras. That's very specific, and it's a lot.
What is this, Boggy?
She's got to work her way up all the levels.
Now it's a whole country. That's incredible. The Netflix synopsis, because again, this is available to watch on Netflix, is when her husband is arrested for his boss's murder.
Oh.
A determined Savi plots to break him out of prison.
Fun.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we're going into this fairly blind, which is always fun, and we like a bit of risk in our lives, just in the same way that you would take a risk breaking your husband out of jail.
It's exactly like
that. It's exactly the same. Join us as we become Savi.
And potentially break people out of prison.
Yeah.
But only if they deserve it.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway. I'm excited. You know, I kind of like the, like, flying by the seat of the pants. Let's do it. Let's just see where this movie takes us.
Totally. Yeah. It's going to be a good time. Hopefully.
Yeah. So watch if you feel as intrigued as we do. Or I do, I guess.
I'm definitely intrigued, too. It's definitely a we here.
We got to at least find out how much Anil Kapoor is in this film. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
We do. And we could all use a little luck in our lives.
I do, yeah. And cricket.
And cricket and Dilker Salman.
Oh, always.
Yeah.